Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. We are in chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 38 and reading through the end of the chapter. This is God's Word. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. Now one greater than Solomon is here. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. And it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation." While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Just to remind you, these verses come immediately after Jesus had worked an amazing miracle healing a man who was demon-possessed. And a dispute had arisen as to whether this was indeed a miracle from God, which obviously it was, or whether, as the religious leaders were suggesting, this was something Jesus did through the powers of Satan, the prince of demons, Beelzebub. And Jesus had warned them that the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, in these verses, they respond not with repentance, but by saying, "Oh, we'd like for you to do a miraculous sign for us." They'd just seen a miraculous sign. And their explanation of the miraculous sign was to attribute it to dark forces. Now they want to see another miracle. Does Jesus have the power to do miracles? Yes. Why? Because he only does what the Father tells him to do. He doesn't do it because the crowd wants it. He doesn't do it because these people aren't going to believe otherwise. These people weren't going to believe no matter what. Jesus would say elsewhere, even if someone rose from the dead, they're not going to believe. And in fact, when Jesus rose from the dead, the chief priests and those who were in charge, rather than repenting, paid off those who'd guarded the tomb to start spreading a lie as to what had happened. They didn't repent. No matter what Jesus did, they were determined not to. What's the problem here? The problem is with the heart. It's not about evidence. Years and years ago, as a teenager, was doing volunteer work at that reform school, one of the kids there was from Eastern North Carolina, and he said, "I'm just not sure that there is a God." And I said, "Well, why don't you tell him?" Because I said, "He's very real. I know him. And you ought to just tell him. Just say, I don't know that you're real. Please help me to know the truth. Because if you want to know the truth, he'll make it clear to you." I said, "What would it take in order for you to know that God is real and answers prayer?" And he said, "Well, I've been here a while, and I haven't heard anything from my mom." He said, "If my mom were to write to me, that would be an answer to prayer." And I said, "Okay, let's pray." And we prayed that God would cause his mom to write to him, and that he'd get that letter and take that as an indication from God. You know what? The letter came the next day. The letter had already been written and mailed before he prayed that prayer, because God knows ahead of time. So the next day, this guy had a letter. Well, isn't that glorious? So he prayed and received Christ. No, he didn't. Because even when the thing he prayed for happened, he still wasn't sure. You know why? If God is real, then he's got to change. If God is real, he can't be his own boss. If Jesus is the Messiah, these guys need to repent and follow him. They were part of the power structure. They liked their position, and they believed that they could justify themselves in God's sight by doing this and this and this and this and not doing this and this and this and this better than the other people. They were bent on self-salvation, and that is the road to hell. So these fellas, asking for a sign, Jesus says, "You're not going to get it. The only sign that this generation will get." Now, by the way, Jesus had done a bunch of signs, and he would do other miracles, but they weren't going to get it. Jesus says, "I'll tell you the sign, the thing that is going to be given as unmistakable evidence to this generation. Son of Man is going to rise from the dead." Just like Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, and then, as it were, came back to life. He says, in the same way, the Son of Man is going to be buried and rise again. That's the promise. Men of Nineveh, where Jonah was going to preach, will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. Who's he talking about? Himself. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. Well, now Jesus is talking about himself as being greater than Jonah and greater than Solomon. Is that okay? Yes. Why? Because he is. This is God incarnate. God became a man. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He literally owned the place. It was through him that all things were made. And now he's standing there, and he has the words that bring life. And he's healing people and demonstrating his authority over demonic forces and delivering people, setting them free from the forces of darkness that were destroying them. And these religious leaders are saying, I don't know, I'm not convinced. Why? It wasn't on the basis of the evidence. You remember when some folks were sent to arrest him and they came back and they told the chief priests, said, why didn't you arrest him? No one ever spoke like that before. Children loved Jesus. Sophisticated people, some of them believed, most of them did not. Well, there were crowds, but a lot of them just wanted the free lunch. They wanted to see the show. If you really believe, it changes everything.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Jesus, having just cast a demon out of a man who was blind and mute, Jesus now warns about something that you and I need to take to heart. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. If you just work really hard, maybe you get in a support group and you clean up your act. You've been in bondage to this problem and you get free from that. But you don't surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You are ripe for the picking for Satan. Jesus says it's possible to get rid of that demon temporarily, but it's coming back. And it's coming back with seven of its friends that are even worse and more deadly than it is. Well, how do I keep that from happening in my life? Don't be empty. When they come back to that house, the house that it's talking about is a person. When a spirit goes out of a man, it goes into arid places seeking rest and does not find it. And it comes back and it finds that house, that person in whom it had resided, to be all cleaned up and utterly empty. So what do I need to be filled with? What does my house need to have in it? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit and speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Every single day, you need to be seeking to surrender your life to Him. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, what does it mean to be filled with anger? It means anger's in control. What does it mean to be filled with deceit? It means that you're lying. You're not being honest with yourself. You're not being honest with others. You've yielded to the lies and the father of lies. What does it mean to be filled with lust? It means that what controls you is unbridled desire for things that are not of God for you. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means that you are yielded to Him. You want Him to be in control. You want to do the will of God. God, I'm not sure what you want me to do in this situation, but show me, because whatever it is, I want to do what you want. Is that your prayer? Well, I'm young. I think I've got time. Let me just tell you something. I have talked with literally thousands of individuals, not just spoken to thousands of people. I've spoken with thousands of people over the years. I have never had anybody say to me, well, you know, having come to trust Christ early in life, I really missed out on a lot, and I just wish I'd waited a while to really surrender my life to the Lord. I've never had anybody say that. Not one. Out of all those people, nobody has ever said they wish they had waited to yield their life to Christ. Nobody. But out of the thousands of people I've talked to, most, if the subject ever came up, specifically said, how I wish I had come to the Lord sooner. I did so many things I now regret. I just wish that I had not wasted so much time. Have you really come to the point of saying, Lord, I want whatever you want? Because if you surrender your life to Christ, you will not regret it. I'm not telling you your life is just going to be filled with happy things if you receive Jesus. Jesus said, if you follow me, it's going to cost you everything. That's what he said. Don't turn your life over to Christ because then it's going to be easy. Turn your life over to Christ because then it's going to be life. It's going to be real life, not just an improved version of this life. It's going to be the life that God created you to enjoy. Well, is there joy? Oh, yes, there is joy. But it's joy that's not based on circumstance. It's based on relationship with Him. There's strength and peace that passes understanding. Don't just try and reform yourself. Break that habit. Yield your life to Him. You know what it says in God's Word? It says, if you are filled with the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, I kind of started out in life thinking I had to stop fulfilling the lusts of the flesh so I could be filled with the Spirit. That's not the way it works. He saves us. We don't save ourselves. We don't clean ourselves up and then we go to God and say, okay, you want me now? The only way we can be washed clean is in the blood of Jesus. He's the one who saves. And so you yield yourself to Him as you are, not saying, I'm going to stay like this. You just forgive, okay? But saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. Wash me, cleanse me, fill me, live your life through me. I pray that prayer continually, folks. Every day, I want Him to cleanse me and fill me and live His life through me. The alternative is you end up going from bad to worse. That's according to Jesus. Well, then, beginning in verse 46, something peculiar happens. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, His mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to Him. They had traveled a distance to get to where Jesus was, and they couldn't get inside because it was so crowded. And so they sent a messenger in saying, hey, tell him his mom's outside. His family has come to see him. And Jesus wouldn't go outside. They've just traveled a distance to see him. This is Mary, most blessed of women. She and Jesus' brothers have traveled to see him, and he won't even go outside. That seems rude. Well, yeah, it does, kind of. I mean, Jesus says, and how peculiar is this? Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Now, why would he say something like that? Because he's greater than Jonah, and he's greater than Solomon, and he knew what was going on, and he only did what the Father told him to do, and he only said what the Father told him to say, and the reason his mother and brothers had come was not because they just wanted to commiserate. It's because Jesus' mother had heard that Jesus was keeping such a busy schedule that he wasn't eating enough. And so, because of her concern for her son, thinking, according to Mark chapter 3, thinking that Jesus was out of his mind, she and his brothers came to take him away from what he was doing. What was he doing? He was doing the will of the Father. He was doing what he'd come to do. So Jesus wouldn't buy into their game. Jesus instead says, here are my mother and my brothers, gesturing to the people who were listening to him. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Well, I mean, Pastor, you're making it sound as if Mary wasn't sinless. But she had good intentions, but she was wrong. And Jesus didn't give in. All of us have people that we love, people we care about, people who are family. And they tug us sometimes in the direction of things that are not the will of the Father. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you're just going to get pulled all around. But if you are seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit and do what God says in His Word, then when mom or dad or brother or sister or cousin or grandpa or grandma or whoever says, oh, no, 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 don't get carried away. You don't want to be a religious fanatic. You realize whose voice that is. You and I need to take seriously the fact that our real family is not biology. Our real family is those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, with whom we're going to spend eternity. And if your biological family is trusting in the Lord and seeking to do His will, hallelujah. But even your brothers and sisters in Christ must not be allowed to dissuade you from doing what God says in His Word. Because sometimes we Christians get it wrong. What does Jesus say? He says it's those who are doing the will of my Father in heaven. Not just those who've professed faith. Those who are doing the will of the Father. That's our family.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.